Hi there, and welcome to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. Welcome here. Hey there. So welcome back to another episode of the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. Do you want more of the KS content than just weekly episodes? If so, consider supporting us over on Patreon. Your financial contribution there helps to fuel our mission to bless marriages and shine God's light and love onto topics that are typically left in the darkness. Over there, we have some amazing perks for you guys as patrons as well. And it's only $5 a month. So head over to patreon.com/kingdomsexuality and become a patron today. Now, let's get into the episode. All right, so welcome back to another episode of the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. Today we have Francie with us, but before we dive into that, we'll start off with a review like we always do. So this one was titled, A Needed Source of Information. This person said, love this podcast, a refreshingly honest perspective of what Christian marriages can look like in regards to sex, connection, intimacy, faith, and culture. They've brought light to so many dark areas that most Christians fear to talk about, which are so necessary and integral parts to a healthy marriage. Thank you for the raw, honest, and informative episodes you work hard to put together. You are all so appreciated.
That's awesome. Thank you.
All right. And then a verse to kind of jump into this for us is Psalm 25:5. Escort me into your truth. Take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours all day long. Oh, that's such a nice verse. Mm-hmm. I feel like it just gives beautiful imagery. I just want to sit in that for a moment. It's beautiful. I love that. What translation is that, Tira?
The Passion Translation. Mm. Yeah. That one just speaks a little differently sometimes.
Right?
Yeah. Oh. And I thought this one is a good one. Like for our episode today, because we're going to be focusing on talking to women, and there's just so much in this verse for that topic, like just trusting God and feeling wrapped in his love. And, you know, like that's our purpose in life. Our purpose isn't to be serving our husband or doing that. Like it's to be with God and to be wrapped up in his love all day long. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, so we have Francie Winslow with us here today. Francie, can you tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, and your story, and all that good stuff?
Sure. I live in Northern Virginia, just outside of DC, with my husband, Wyatt, and our six kids. So we have six kids from ages 15 down to 5. Five of them are bio and one is adopted, and it is a beautiful, wonderful, chaotic circus. And I host a podcast called Heaven in Your Home, where we talk about sex, marriage, and the mission of God, and reframing the vision and the heart of God for our bodies, our sexuality, marriage, and the calling to really respond to his original design in Genesis 1. And it's a reflection and an overflow of my real life and my journey of walking in freedom and healing as a woman, as an image bearer, as a wife, as a mother. We've been married for 18 years. And so my ministry journey really started when I was in high school, because I was speaking to girls my age at girls' conferences, where it was aimed to really help them connect with God's heart for their sexuality as teenagers. And I had no idea that it would move into my adult life. I thought I would be just like a really nice Bible study teacher. But I also needed healing once I got married. It was one thing to talk about it as a teenager, choosing to give God all of my life and choosing to give him my purity, my whatever that meant to me at that time. But when I got married, it was very clear that actually I had a lot of work to do in the places of my heart and my mind to what it looks like to go from don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, to suddenly you can do it. And I had no idea actually how to embody that with freedom and with joy. And I had no idea even God's heart for sex. I didn't know truly that it was good, that my body was good, that pleasure was good. And so I've been on a healing journey for the last 18 years. And the beautiful part about it is that there are no limits or bounds to God's healing. And we think, okay, I crossed that mountain. And then we see another mountain range in front of us, or 20. And that's okay, because the Lord is our shepherd. And he just keeps guiding us from one mountain, valley, peak, high, low, to the next. And in all of that journey with the Lord is healing. And that is what I've come to know and love about the Lord. In our highest of highs and our very lowest of lows in our marriage, we've had a lot of sickness, trauma, brain injuries, PTSD. We've had very sick kids. We've had so many horrific journey points. But also, my podcast is called Heaven in Your Home, because it's not about like life being perfect, but it's about the kingdom and the reign of Jesus moving in us and through us in the most intimate place, our souls, to the most public places. And the mirror reflection of that is our marriage, from the most intimate place, that the Lord would come, minister to us, heal us, show us what it looks like to be vulnerable, to be naked and unashamed, to be made whole in his presence together, so that our bedroom becomes a place where God does deep healing work and it ripples out. So one of my favorite phrases that I've used over the years is the ripple effect of sex, because when we invite God into those secret places, the most intimate places of our lives, there is a ripple effect of fruit. So when we're connected and close to Jesus, our life is fruitful, and our marriage is a mirror image of that. So when we invite the Holy Spirit into the secret places of our marriage and to do the work in our own sexuality in that very private space, there is a ripple effect of something. And if we're inviting God in, it's a ripple effect of fruitfulness and freedom that impacts our children, our careers, our churches, our communities, and the culture. And if we don't invite him in, there is also a ripple effect of brokenness and pain that we pass on to our children, that proliferates into our workplaces, in our churches, in our communities, in our culture. And so it's this idea of, God, let no room of my heart be untouched by your love and your healing presence. Let heaven come into my heart and let heaven come into my home. Let no room of my home be untouched by your presence. And I found in my own journey, the most pivotal room of my home is my bedroom, because of the power of intimacy. And when I invite God there, what he does has been absolutely mind-blowing for my own soul and my own journey, and also for our marriage and for our family.
Wow. Okay. Wow. I think we can just end the podcast. That was like
so good.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, wow. What truth. I love that. Okay, so coming out of, like that purity culture, especially since you were kind of the minister
the
of that.
Child.
Yeah. can you tell us a little bit about like your first years being married? How did you, what were you thinking as you were married? How did you get over feeling like, exactly like you said, you know, you weren't allowed to do it, and then all of a sudden you can? And how was it for those first few years?
Yeah, well, I think the idea is that maybe you'll just figure it out, you know, like, good luck. You're married
totally.
Now. And you would never just like give a child the keys to Ferrari and be like, well, now you're 16. Here's the keys. Good luck. I'm sure you'll figure it out. Like, you need training and you need supervision and you need guidance and you need to study to be able to handle this gift well. And so I think we jumped into it with very little training. And so it was quite clunky and painful, because I think my husband and I didn't really know each other when we got married, right? I was 20, so that tells you a lot. I was really young, and I think I got married thinking, I just have to be the best wife ever. Like, I have to do it all right. Yep. And so I read all the books that I could find, and somehow the message I received was that, I'm sure you're not surprised, that a good wife meets her husband's needs. That means we have sex to meet his needs. And so of course I'm like, even I put a Bible verse on it, and I'm like, prefer one another's needs before your own. I got it. I'm going to have like a lot of sex with this man. And I love that verse, but there's a lot more depth and beauty to it than just meet his need and, oh, sex is a man's need. And so we did start off that way, and it worked to a degree that it was helping us learn. It was helping us connect. And it was obviously touching his heart, because both of us have sex as a need. You know, it's not just a man's need. It is a marriage's gift, and it's God's provision for union and for intimacy on so many levels. So it was working. But what was most profound, I think, is during the first few months of our marriage, we realized how vulnerable our hearts were and how easily we were hurt. And so we thankfully were in a really beautiful church that was very spirit-filled, that was teaching us about inner healing. And so they were just talking about, you know, like, if a pain comes up, instead of shoving it down or avoiding it or blowing up, go and be like, Lord, is there a place where I can repent? Is there a lie that I've believed? Is there shame that I'm holding on to? And so in the first episode of my podcast, I start the first 12 episodes, basically, of my story and my journey. And I talk about the pink inner healing couch. And so we would sit on this couch and be like, I'm really shut down. Or I see you're shut down. Where'd you go? You were here. And now you're like in another world. I feel so hurt. I feel like you're far away. We would just kind of say what we felt. And then we'd pray and ask God, Lord, help us. We're really messed up and we're hurting each other. And so we would do our best to repair spiritually in whatever way we knew how, whatever skills we had at that time. It was really just trying to talk it through, pray, repent, and be honest. And then we would go to the bedroom and we would have sex. And so for our first year of marriage, we ended up having sex almost every day for the first year of marriage. Wow. And it's a little intense. Whoa. But it was what I know is a little intense. And we were missionaries in another country. We had a lot of layers of adventure and interesting, but it was what we started realizing was in that level of connection, I realized, hang on, these books are not telling me the whole truth, because sex is actually way more powerful than anyone told me. Because as we were leaning into connection, it was like the most tempting thing when we were getting like head to head on things was to lean out, be like, peace out. I'm scared. I'm not safe. Yeah. I don't even know what's happening. I'm out of here. But somehow by the grace of God, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, lean in, show up with your heart and your body. And I have to say, this is in the context of two people who are trying to honor each other and who are caring for each other. I don't recommend this to show up for somebody who's not being kind or careful with your heart and your mind and your body. But we were trying. Yeah. We were both trying, and we were kind of a mess, and we were young and didn't know what we were doing. And so the voice in our hearts and heads, which I think was God, was just lean in, keep showing up even when it's tempting to lean out. And we did that with our hearts and we did it with our bodies. And that's when I realized the script was completely upside down in my head, that it is not this thing we do to check a box. It's not a duty. It's not something that my husband needs that I have to do for him. It is the provision of God to create an atmosphere of so much unity and connection that actually heaven can break through. And that is the seeds of this Heaven in Your Home podcast, that unity is where the presence of God dwells. Mm-hmm. And God gave us our bodies in the gift of marriage to become one. And that sex is so pleasurable. And we can talk about that, because we need to talk about that. And it's so powerful and so fun, but it's also so unitive. And that was how we were fighting for connection during all of our messiness of the first few years, is we kept showing up. And then we realized we don't just have to have sex. We get to, because of the sweetness that comes. We talk about like the coffee pot tenderness, like, don't you feel so tender at each other? Like, what's happening? And at that point, I didn't know any of the brain science. I didn't know any of the hormones that are released. I didn't know about the oxytocin that makes you feel close. I didn't know about the serotonin that makes you feel happy, which is all God's beautiful design. But what we're stumbling into is it is way better than the world advertised and way more beautiful than the church ever taught us. And it is God's gift to us. And so we started seeing it as a gift to steward. And we started growing and trying to learn. And we would go to Barnes & Noble back in the day when people actually went to Barnes & Noble. We had no money. And so we would go look at sex books. And I would put another book in front of my sex book because I was too embarrassed to be reading a sex book out in public. And so nobody would know what I was reading. And then we would just take an idea home and go practice. And so it was this idea of, we get to practice this, we get to grow this. And we still sought wisdom from all the Christian books, but it seemed like there's something better than we have been told here. Mm. It's like we're on this kind of secret journey with God to discover a treasure that had been buried. And that's what it felt like. And so it really was the first few years, it felt like it was just for us. It was our healing. Lots of family of origin healing, lots of insecurity, lots of shame from my past healing, places that were just misaligned. It was like vulnerability and unity were the secret sauce to God entering in and saying, I want to do a work here, that sex is a gift on so many levels. And so the first few years of our marriage were a lot of fumbling, but it was also realizing, hey, hold the door. Like, there is another story happening here. And and I do say, like, I am still getting healed. And I can point to very pivotal markers of, like, God healed me there of hating my female body. God healed me there of shame from my past. God healed me there, even more recently, of, like, understanding the beauty of being a feminine woman in my body. Mm. I have 6 kids. I'm like, I'm getting so free. It's so fun to walk with God, knowing that I'm 18 years in and he's still doing beautiful things. And through a lot of trauma, you know, it's not just, oh, your life is easy, therefore you have that. It is actually even provision in trauma. It's even provision in high stress. It's even provision in sleeplessness and chronic illness. It's the gift of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. I think a big part of, you know, like what the Christian books state, they almost state exactly what you've said, but I feel like it's always more of, wife, you need to do this in order to have it. Not like there is a benefit for us as well in the actual sexual act, in the actual pleasurable moments, like to lean into that God designed this for both of us equally, you know, that unity is it, like to be able for us as women to receive pleasure. Like, you know, I think is the part that so much of those Christian books kind of stop at, you know, it says all the right things, but you have to have the mindset of that this is good for me too, you know.
Well, you have to ask, well, why is that? Like, why do none of the Christian books we're raised on talk about a woman's pleasure? And I wouldn't want to say none because I want to be charitable. I'm sure there were some that were cluing in to the gift of God. However, they weren't actually, because the medical science was not even caught up until. So you might have heard over the years how many like nerve endings a woman's clitoris has.
Yeah.
You would have heard a couple years ago, 8,000, right? Mm-hmm. And a man's penis has 4,000. So that's double the amount of pleasure capacity just on one part of a woman's body. A woman's body is entirely orgasmic. Mm-hmm. Our entire body is covered in nerve endings that were made to be pleasureful. We were made to be, in the image of God, we were made women. And he's proud of these things. He loves these things. These are not like, ew, seductive woman. She's off limits.
Exactly.
It is glorious to embody a body that is designed to be receptive on every level. And that means to receive pleasure. I was just on a walk and I'm like, oh, God, this is so gorgeous. I'm receiving the beauty of God with all my five senses, the sun on my face, because I realize that every little bit of pleasure I feel is a tiny taste of the infinite beauty and pleasure of God. And so I'm feeling the sun on my face and I'm feeling with my five senses, the warmth. I'm feeling I'm hearing the crispy leaves under my feet. I'm seeing the colors of the blue sky and the orange and the yellow leaves. And I'm just being taken away in a worship moment. I'm like, God, you're so good, because I'm receiving beauty. I'm receiving pleasure through my body, through my five senses. And I think we're okay with that. But then we take it to the point of sensual pleasure and we're like, well, I don't know about that. and I understand, I've been there, like really unsure about looking at my own body, really unsure about the goodness of my own body. And if I can't look at my own body, that means that there are places in my heart that really need healing. Because there was a season in my life where I heard a Christian woman be like, bless your body, sit in front of the mirror naked, talk about like, thank God for all the body parts. And I was like, I will never do that.
Oh.
And I was like in ministry because I was so feeling like that is weird and I'm very uncomfortable with that. And then what I realized is anytime I have that resistance, because the feminine beauty is receptive, anytime that like resistance and that rigidity comes up, I feel like that's the Holy Spirit being like, let me heal you, like right there. That is an invitation to say, God, where did I start believing that my body's disgusting or dirty or shameful? Like, where in my story did I experience something so horrible that I have had that lodged in my body? So I have a physical reaction when I think about pleasure or when I, you know, even think about being orgasmic. I don't even know what that means. And so much of our sexual health and healing as women of God might have to do with going back with the Holy Spirit into our story. Where did I first believe that about my body? Because what you said is I'm made in the image of God and it is very, very good. And woman is the pinnacle of creation. She was the last thing made. And going back to the amount of clitoris nerve endings, it used to be that we believed there was 8,000. And maybe you guys have heard this, but the only way they got that number, and this was medical, secular medical doctors, right? This is like the people, the experts. They used a female cow clitoris to discern that. It wasn't until last year that they actually spent the time and energy to discover a woman's actual body has 10,200 nerve endings. So even more. But what that tells me is that even the medical community has not honored, understood, or celebrated the female body. And so how would we expect our amazing pastors, no offense, but like they're pastors. They've been to seminary with only men teaching, only men instructors, and they're not going to get the viewpoint or the beauty or the mystery or the wonder of the female gift of God as an image bearer. Mm-hmm. And many of our church structures are set up to kind of proliferate that. And so women don't talk about it because we feel ashamed of it, because if something is unsaid, like out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. So if we never speak of the beauty of God's design in woman, that means that the beauty and the design of woman is really not a revelation in our heart. And so I've noticed that the more free I get, the more I'm like able and excited to talk about this with my daughters. Yeah. I just had a conversation with this morning with my 9-year-old who's homesick from school. And she's like, I have a bad question to ask you, mommy. And I'm like, there's no bad question. Cause she was like, do you and daddy shower together? And I'm like, yeah, we do. Cause we were talking about like needing to get ready later. And she's like, really? That seems bad. I'm like, no, it's beautiful. Mm. Because in marriage, mommies and daddies give their whole hearts and their whole minds and their whole bodies. And that's what makes it safe and beautiful, because they promise to love each other forever. She's like, I have another bad question. So this is just even like speaking of women, young girls, somewhere in our brains, we get wired. This is a bad question. And she's raised in my house, right? I mean, I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
There is, I think, maybe even attribute it to spiritual warfare. Like there's a battle for our beauty. Yeah. And so I just got to tell her again, I'm like, Mary, there's no bad question. There's no bad part of your body. And I think this is a good discipleship moment. But so I'll tell you what I told her. And she's like, well, why, if it's not bad, why do we cover it up? And I'm like, well, that's a good question, Mary. Because she's like, if it's not bad, why does everybody cover it up and not say, don't touch it and you can't look at it? And I said, well, it's kind of like the gifts that God gave you as a female are like a diamond. And you would never put a diamond right there on our counter or in our fruit bowl, because it'll get touched by the wrong hands. It'll get misused and mishandled, and it might get hurt. And so where do you put a diamond? She's like, in a museum, in a case. I'm like, yeah, we put it there to honor its value. And she said, so it's like my diamond, nobody can touch it because it's so precious. I'm like, yes, because it's so beautiful and so valuable, it gets protected. And then when you become married, your husband is a safe enough person to handle it well, to celebrate its beauty. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like one of those passing conversations. I was literally on my yoga mat, like doing some burpees, and we're having this chat while she's sitting beside me. Like that's real life.
Wow.
And that is the fruit, though, of freedom that God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. Because I can't give her freedom and joy about her body if I don't have it.
Yeah,
totally. And so I think this is a beautiful conversation to have with women, to know, okay, it's not only work I need to do for me, although I need to do it for me, I also get to do it so that I have freedom to pass on to my daughters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. So, okay, something that came to mind while you were talking before is like, so we see this disconnect between sex and Christ and our relationship with the Lord. How, like a woman who, you know, is hearing you talk about, you know, you're going for a walk and you're experiencing the pleasure of, you know, of God around you, of the beauty of his creation. And then to translate that into the bedroom, maybe some women are like, how on earth could I ever find that connection to then make it so it is something that is being like fruitful in every area of my life, right? Like you were mentioning at the beginning. So like how would a couple or even a woman who's on this journey begin that journey of trying to connect sex and her relationship with the Lord if she's feeling really confused in that area, or like there's kind of a lack of that in her life and she's wanting there to be more?
Yeah. Well, I think so much of our discipleship, it feels like, starts in Genesis 3, where we're all sinners in need of a savior. And that is true. And everything is messed up. And our view of sex is messed up. And our experience of sex is messed up. And we're just like, ah, I'm so messed up. How do I get back? And our vision is cloudy with all that is messed up. And I think one of the biggest healing points for me is that I realized in Matthew 19, Jesus is chatting with the Pharisees and they're trying to pin him on a question about marriage. And he's like, hang on, you guys are so messed up. Like you're so messed up because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning, it was not so, right? So Jesus, the Word who made flesh, the Word who was in the beginning, the one who was at creation, who witnessed it all, was like, hey guys, I'm here on earth in a body right now. Let me whisper something to you. Go back to Genesis 1. in the beginning, it was not so. And so I've spent probably the last, 15 years, my husband and I, maybe more, really thinking about Genesis 1. What was God's design? Because as much as I trip over, well, I don't want to be like, so like this, or I don't want to be kinky, or I don't want to be weird, or I get so scared of all the ways it could go wrong. And that is Genesis 3 thinking. I'm just stuck in the brokenness of the world. But when I go back and I worship my designer and I look at his design, then I think, oh, this is beautiful. My body is beautiful. And there is a seamless flow for me worshiping God outside on my walk next to the beautiful trees to going in my bathroom and doing my makeup and like doing a little bit of like music, dancing to some jazz and like feeling the beauty of my body moving and feeling beautiful. And then going up and like just hugging my husband and feeling his strength and feeling his body and feeling beauty in my body and through my body is a seamless flow. That also, I think, is an invitation to healing, because that also wasn't always true. I had very segmented, disintegrated existence as a woman, where I really saw my spiritual stuff as good and pretty much all physical stuff as bad. And that is rooted in the heresy called Gnosticism, which has been around since the very beginning, back at Plato, back at the New Testament church. It was this idea of spirit is good, body is bad. And it is a demonic heresy that completely destroys our embodied faith that we're called to have, because there's nothing dirty about our bodies. And I'll even say I'm right now, my healing journey at this moment, like what I'm growing in, if you're like, let's just be friends, right? What's God doing in your life? I am growing in the joy of being feminine. And I heard somebody tell me the other day, just like, what if you do something silly, like try to write your name with your hips? Nobody's looking. You're in your bathroom. Just move your hips. You're not even trying to be sexy. You're not trying to be anything except in your body. And then realize that to be a woman is to be fluid and to be loose and to be soft. And almost everything in our life says be rigid, be stern, be organized, be structured. And I was just having lunch with a friend yesterday grieving the fact that my suburban lifestyle is killing my feminine soul. And what I mean is, like, I am so structured. I am so exhausted. I'm driving for hours a day in traffic. I'm managing all these children, and I don't have any of these like beautiful feminine opportunities for, like, I don't know if you know about the red tent, but there's like cultures where women will go away during their period and like just be together and braid hairs and rest and sing songs and kind of just this like tribal way of living as women that I think we were designed for closeness and community and sharing our feelings. And I don't know, I think it's this idea of, as a woman, I think I was made for something different than what I'm living. And my marriage suffers when I try to live a more masculine existence, because we were made to be different and together. And so I would just say, this is what's helping me right now, is realizing God made all of me. And he made me a woman, and he called me good, and that there is a space for me to embody beauty and the receptivity and the gentleness and the joy and the, I think just being in my body and being excited to be there and being welcoming to my husband, to my children, feeling the embrace of holding my children in and knowing in that I'm even connecting with God. I'm imaging his embrace as a mother. As I live those things, I realize all of it is beautiful, and it is a journey to reclaim that territory and not live so segmented, but to know that it's about image bearing. It's about knowing God and showing God with our body and experiencing his love in us and through us, and being kind of healed of the fact that my feminine beauty is a gift from God to me and to also the other people around me. And that very much requires, I think, just knowing you have permission to do that. You have permission to ask God, what do I look like as a fully alive woman? Am I rigid and insecure and defensive and easily offended and closed off? Or did you design me for a different way of living in my body and in relationship to others, and doing a little bit of work with God on that and saying, God, I want to breathe deeply and easily. And so it's little things like that, I think, just another big key for my healing was blessing my body on a regular basis. And it was, you know, I'm in the baby stage, God, thank you for these arms that hold babies. Mm-hmm. And then realizing when I'm holding, at one time I was holding two babies in a chair and I was rocking them. And I felt like the Lord was saying, do you see my image on your body? You're comforting these ones. They feel calm in your arms. You are revealing my heart to them as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there and cried because then I'm experiencing God's love for me as I'm loving my people. Mm-hmm. And those are all the gifts of an integrated feminine existence where pleasure and beauty and receptivity and comfort mm-hmm. are ways that we be in our body and reveal the love of God. It's about knowing him and showing him with all of who we are, mm-hmm. not just our spiritual worship on Sundays where we like do things that are sanctioned to be spiritual, but seeing it all as spiritual and all as a gift from God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. And there's actually like science to back that up. There's a book, Better Sex Through Mindfulness by Dr. Lori Brado. And she like, obviously we'll take it a step further as sure. mindfulness connected to our Heavenly Father, but there is science that says, you know, like when you practice mindfulness, aka worshiping through those moments of like the beauty and using your five senses, if you start practicing that during your day and bringing that into your marriage bed, there is scientific proof that shows that you will be able to have more pleasure during sex with that. Like I just love how
Absolutely.
Science catches up, you know, with what we mm-hmm. what we already know and connecting, yeah, to who God made us, but to be trying to constantly think about those things too. And in our regular mm-hmm. life, like it doesn't have to be, you know, just in sex, but like, as you said, like going out in nature or yeah, and appreciating the different parts of your body and especially the types, the mm-hmm. parts of your body that you feel the most cringed at, you know, mm-hmm. that's the good ones to think, okay, what is this body done? What is, you know, what are those stretch marks mean? What do, you know, there's so much, you know, all of us women have areas of our body where we go, oh, okay. You know, and just to remember that God made you the way that you are with those things. And even with the way that we look is on purpose so that we can minister to others. You know, that's why we don't look the same. We're all different. And you could be that particular size because women need to hear God's love through that sized woman. You know, you just never know what your body, like God made you the way you are for a purpose. It is not a mistake. It is not something you need to fix. It's not something you need to aim for perfection. Like, no, there's beauty in exactly who you are in exactly in this moment, not the future of like, oh man, I know I need to lose 10 pounds. You know, no, there's a reason, like you can still be used by God
yes.
in the body that you are right now. Don't dream of what he's going to do in the future through your perfect body. You know, like, yeah, mm-hmm. there's just so much of, yeah, accepting and loving our body and who God made us that also allows us to be receiving of pleasure too. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So good.
It's hard to receive pleasure when you're also being critical of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I think it might be impossible.
Yeah. So let's talk just for a second here about, well, more than a second, it'll be good. So we were talking about, you know, that disconnect in due to kind of lots of us experienced, myself included, with purity culture and coming out of that and feeling like sex is supposed to be this thing that you do for your husband. Mm-hmm. How, as women, do we, like, I know it's a journey that I've had to go through myself, but like, how do we encourage women to desire sex and like want this gift for themselves as well, and to realize that it can be a gift for them too? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. So I think, how do we encourage women to desire sex? I think just the way we have set up, it's kind of a follow-up on the rest of our conversation, the way we've set up our world, our life, our pace, mm-hmm. we've kind of forced women to disconnect from their bodies. We're so exhausted. I'm pretty sure this is scientifically backed, but it's also my experience is that the most pleasure happens when I'm most rested. Mm-hmm. And so we just live this exhausted life. But there is capacity for us to enter into a different way of being with our body if we believe it's good. And if we believe it's worth pursuing, we believe it's worth mm-hmm. growing. I think a great, meaningful experience in your body doesn't just happen because you're like, oh, I listen to this podcast now, I got it. It is a discipline of believing something different.
Yeah.
And then neural pathways form. And so your body actually registers with that mm-hmm. because we have nervous systems, right? And we have nervous systems that have received messages because our bodies have experienced certain things. But when we begin to say, okay, God, I want to come into alignment with you. And you said, this is very good. I want to agree with that. And not only agree with it theoretically, but agree with it with my calendar and make some time for me to connect with my body, take a slower shower and be mindful and thank God for my breast. So I'll just be vulnerable because I feel like that's what's been most transformational for me is when other women have been really vulnerable. So I don't feel super confident in the size of my breast. Why? Because we live in a pornographic culture where everybody has fake boobs and the bigger the boobs, the sexier you are, right? And there is something of a deep insecurity of me. So then do I want to share my body? Am I excited about getting naked? No, because I feel like I don't measure up. So there's some space for me to do some work with God there. There's also some space for me to be straight up with my husband and be like, hey, I feel insecure about the size of my breast. Would you encourage me with what you find beautiful? And so being open to conversations about really vulnerable things has been the most transformational in our marriage, because we think if we're just all like about hot sex and having great orgasms and just winning every time, that actually doesn't produce intimacy. Mm-hmm. Vulnerability and building together mm-hmm. heals our hearts and produces intimacy and pleasure in our bodies. And I'm having the most pleasure because I have done deep digging in places that I would have otherwise held away from him and said, I'm not going to let him near there because I'm really insecure. So I think we don't desire sex for a lot of reasons. I think we're exhausted and our bodies can't feel pleasure when they're exhausted. I also remember seasons where I actually didn't have much sensation in my genitals. And it was because I had a disconnect of believing it was dirty, believing it was bad, not feeling like it was for me, feeling like if I let go, I'll be embarrassed. I can't really embody this because I'm thinking about the laundry. It's all of this mental game that we have. And so realizing, okay, I really want to be present in my body. I want to feel things. And then we practiced. And so I think the biggest mind shift for us was also people talk about scheduling sex, but even beyond just scheduling a quickie, it's like scheduling time in our schedule to really practice pleasure together. For me to practice receiving and believing that that's a holy thing to do with our time. Because we fill our schedules to the max, but one of the holiest parts of our schedule every week are the hours we spend giving and receiving care and pleasure. We happen to call it the king treatment and the queen treatment because we know we've learned each other's bodies. Like, how do you want your king treatment? And we give and then we receive. And this practice can go anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours, but it is time given to practicing receiving pleasure. And that is, again, a neural pathway thing. Like, it doesn't just happen because we think, oh, I'm going to put on a new jacket today. It is a transformation. It is a renewing of our mind to be integrated and to say, this is a good gift from God. And it's not just about having hot sex. It's about the first call of God. The first great commission was not go therefore and make disciples. It was from a place of oneness and unity and intimacy, be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion. We are missionaries. Like, that was how we started. That's where we got married. We're like missional people, but sex is our most important starting place for our mission because it is the place of intimacy and oneness and heart healing and body restoring. And we've got a slew of trauma in our home. And so we're like so traumatized. We don't have time not to have sex. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to put it in our schedule because of how restorative it is to our brains and our bodies and how it is actually a trauma release space. There's been so many times we've been intimate and I just weep because I need to cry hard to let go of the tension. Women hold tension in their vaginas. If you've been abused, if you've had something hard happen to you, there is a very high chance you have a ton of tension in your vagina. And how does it come out? Not by like a quickie or like hard and fast pounding male-oriented sex. It comes out through slow, gentle, intimate space to release the tension. And that, I believe, is the design of our good designer. He baked that into our systems, that sex and intimacy is a place for healing. It's a place for integration and beauty. And it comes when we say, okay, God, I don't have that. but I want that. What mm-hmm. is a little step? And I think the first step mm-hmm. is agreeing, God, what you made is good and holy.
Yeah.
And then ordering our thinking and our calendars around pursuing growth and healing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. Oh, yeah. I think it's so true.
How would you encourage husbands in this whole story? Like, how can they encourage their wives to receive pleasure and like, what would their part be in this to help?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming your audience is amazing and it's full of amazing men of God. And so we first want to just bless these men of God and say, we are thankful for your strength and we're thankful for your masculinity and we want more of it. And we honor it and we want to learn how to make room for it and how to be more feminine and more honoring of ourselves so that we can be more honoring of your masculinity. So I think that's the first conversation is like, it's good that we're different. And so how you can bless and be a part of the healing journey of your wife is that you are a safe place of strength giving. And you give your wife strength by speaking life over her body 100% of the time. There is to be no word that comes out of your mouth except what is building up and edifying of your wife, no matter what stage of pregnancy or postpartum, because the more life we speak over her and the more you encourage her, even if she's not where she wants to be, she feels that safety to be vulnerable where she is as she is. And so I think words of life over her body and also asking her, like, how can I bless your body? I know you want to do that. How can I agree? And I remember early in our marriage, I was so insecure to be naked around my husband. I think I just had a lot of shame. And I was like, I want to like turn the lights off and get under the covers. And I asked him, I was like, can you just tell me what you love about every part of my body, head to toe? And so that became a little practice every night. He would just tell me every night, like not the super sexual parts either, but like every part of my body, like the back of my neck or a little place on my back or a little place behind my knee or whatever. He would just speak life and say, I love this. I love that. And it healed my heart. Mm-hmm. So I think never underestimate the words that you speak and how healing they are and what a powerful that gift that is. Asking your wife, how can you help her in blessing your body and come alongside of her? And I think giving her rest, our bodies come alive to pleasure when we have rest. And so she needs support and rest and space to get in touch with her body. I think another thing is to say you want to be a student of her body and you want to learn and give her permission to learn. Mm-hmm. It might be alone. She goes alone to the bathroom. She learns and then she finds the courage to come tell you. But know that your job is to be a student and to treat her like a queen. And I think that has been a very healing experience for me, has been my husband saying, I want you to lay down. Because women take at least 20 minutes to really warm up, at least. And then, like, she should be, I hate to say it, like, she should be really wet and juicy. Like, her body should be begging to have you penetrate. A quickie, a penetration, like that is fine when necessary, but her body is capable of so much more given time. And so knowing that that's capable, she's capable of that, and that your job is to just be a chief celebrator of her beauty and her capacity for pleasure that comes through patience and kindness and gentleness and all the fruits of the spirit. Mm-hmm. My husband has been the most pivotal part of my healing journey. And I believe that can be true for the men listening as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that what you said, like after the 20 minutes, like our bodies are capable of so much more. Mm-hmm. Like that's such a powerful statement. I feel like for us as women, but also for the men too, like we will both experience different things and more because of that warm up. Like that's, good.
And I will say, like, since we're honoring honesty and vulnerability, there is training for the man too, to know his body, because his body is amazing as well. And his body is capable of so much, and knowing how to train his pleasure levels so that he can last longer, so that he can have sustained pleasure for 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, and know how to pace himself so that he can give pleasure to his wife. I think every man wants to do that. They were trained by such a pornographic, achievement-oriented, performance-oriented culture that we have a really upside-down view of what sex should look like. But it has the capacity to be slow and sensuous and long and orgasmic for a long time. And it doesn't mean like a performance or an achievement moment. It means the power of pleasure in our body that God gave us circulating for so long, it actually changes our brain structure. It releases tension. It helps us process trauma, pain, grief, and it builds us into a deeper place of unity so that we can face the world from a stronger place. It's not just about a release. It's about so much more.
What has been your favorite resource for husbands in that, like for that training?
Oh goodness. I might have to get back to you on that. I think we have gleaned so much from so many resources, lot of really anatomically oriented resources, not really faith-based, to be honest.
Yeah.
Cause we just need to know how the body works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to know like what happens. And honestly, a lot of voices that are not Western, that are more attuned to the body, who understand how breath works, who understand, like you said, mindfulness, who understand. Yeah. And when I hear that, I think, I know who made that. Mm-hmm. God made that. Yeah. My God made that.
Yeah.
And he's been giving wisdom to people from all cultures for so long about the body, about health, about healing. And so when I see a resource that's really body oriented, I'm drawn into that because I see the designer and his fingerprints all over that. But there, in terms of a very practical male resource, maybe I just need to create one. there is a lot to a man understanding his body and how it works, and a woman understanding the goodness of like even how to love him well and mm-hmm. help him stay, you know, excited for a long time. And the pleasure and the beauty of that is such a powerful gift that I don't know that we often make enough time for.
Yeah, seriously. And it's interesting too to realize the lack of, or like the disconnect too, between the faith side of resources and the anatomy. We did an episode on anatomy, and Kyle, so the other guy on our team, or the guy on our team, he led it, and he was like, because he is a registered massage therapist, and so he anatomy is his jam, he loves that stuff. But I was like learning things as he's telling like going through this episode. I'm like, how is this disconnect so huge between the church, you know, and women and mm-hmm. couples and marriage, and we don't even know our own bodies.
It's exactly right.
Oh, and it's doing us a total disservice. Like, it's just not helpful at all to couples trying to figure out what does feel good and how do I experience pleasure in my marriage, and what do I do if I am not experiencing that? And do I have permission to figure it out? And what do I do to figure it out? You know? So yeah, I think it's just,
yeah.
Oh,
that's why we're having these conversations.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
So Francie, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah. It's just been lovely to just sit and listen and just be a part of hearing your story and your vulnerability. It's powerful and it's beautiful. So thank you so, so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to meet you guys and to be a small part of what you're offering. I'm grateful for you guys.
Would you be okay with praying to close our episode today?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Oh God, thank you so much for your goodness. I just invite anybody listening who wants to just put your hand on your heart and take a deep breath in. God, I thank you that in the beginning you breathed into us life. It's your very spirit that's in our lungs, in our bodies, moving through our bodies thousands of times a day, giving us the capacity to move on this earth, to live, to love, to receive, to give, to worship, to work, and all of it is holy and all of it is good. And we thank you for the power that you've given us that lives in us and lives in our bodies. And I thank you, God, for the stories that our bodies hold, the ways that we have journeyed through the earth, and the hard things that have happened to us, the beautiful things that have happened to us. And we just take a minute to invite you, God, a level deeper, to walk with us in our embodied experience. Pray for healing in spaces that are aching. I pray for light in places that are dark. I pray for restoration of our minds and our bodies and our spirits, of our relationships, our marriages, and our homes. I pray that you would allow each woman listening to know that she has permission to bless her body, to walk in greater levels of healing and freedom, and that she is made beautifully in your image and for your glory. We thank you, Jesus, for the work that you've done for us, the price that you paid to restore us back to God's garden dream, to heal, to renew, to remake us as your image bearers and glory carriers. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
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 Wait, so where can our listeners follow you? We forgot to ask that.
Yes. Where can we find you?
Francie Winslow on social media platforms. And then my podcast is called Heaven in Your Home. My website, franciewinslow.com. I have a discipleship circle that I lead monthly calls women from all over the world that call in and we chat like this about real stuff. And we go deeper together because we were made for freedom and it's hard to get there alone. So those are some of the places to find me.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. It was lovely. Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.